Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We're in a series that we're going through called First Things First. And I've been setting up the year and talking about prayer, the word, community, purpose, stewardship, all these things that's really important to get right. You know, first things are good. Who remembers their first kiss? I do. Wife, I remember my first kiss with my wife. I remember it because it was on Hannah White's front porch. Anyway, story for another time. I remember my first day of high school. I remember my first time eating kiwi fruit because I got a massive allergic reaction. My daughter just finished her first year of primary school, of kindergarten. And my son's about to start in a couple of weeks, his first day of preschool. There's a lot of firsts going on. Firsts are important. Firsts help set things up. Firsts are really important. Obviously, the last is probably more important. But first, how we set things up, it really helps set the trajectory of where we're going to go. And so this time of year is always important. How are we setting up our year? How are we positioning ourselves to start well? Because God can redeem things. If we don't start well, God can redeem things. But we can help ourselves out by starting well. So then we don't have to, you know, you pull things down to rebuild again. We can just start on the right foot. And so this week we're looking at what it looks like to put the word first in our lives, to build our lives on the word. I want to start in this passage of scripture in Matthew 7. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says this in verse 24. He says, "Therefore, everyone say everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came," amen, "the Narrabeen Lagoon rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet," this is a word for some of you, "it did not fall, because it has its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who built their house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Great contrast of two different situations, two different lives. So we want to be people who build our lives, who position our lives on the solid foundation of Christ, of His Word, of the Word of God. Can I tell you, the question isn't whether rain and wind and flood will come. It's not like if they, it's the when they come, when things happen, when life throws a curveball, when situations that we don't expect, that are unpredictable, when they happen, how are we going to get through? Are we positioned to withstand the things that life has? Can I tell you, it's a really dangerous place to be in if we're interpreting God's character based on circumstance. Because sometimes we can think that, like, oh, the wind's blowing, the things are flooding, things are happening. God doesn't love me. Can I tell you, that's God's character has got nothing to do with circumstance. And so don't ride the waves of life thinking God loves me, or now I've done something terrible. There's things that, like, you know, this circumstance and consequence, I get that. But just general life is not a marker of God's love for you. Things happen. Life happens. The greater question is, have we positioned ourselves on His love, on His grace, on His mercy, so we can get through? That is the question that God's asking of us. And so as we talk about the Word of God, you know, Scripture, there's quite a broad brushstroke of what is the Word of God. You know, obviously in this context, Jesus is talking about the words He's speaking, like the actual words He's teaching people. But then in other parts of of Scripture, the Word of God is referred to, you know, all sorts of things like you know, the actual written Word, like the Torah, the original Scriptures. The Word of God is talking about the Word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father, the mouth of God. And so what is the Word? And so I want to give you a little bit of a framework just to help us understand how do we build our lives on the Word of God. And so I want to give you three parts to this. Number one, the embodied Word. The embodied Word. This is Jesus Christ himself. So in John 1 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the primary and complete revelation of God. He is the fullness of God in bodily form. Jesus is not a word from God. He is the Word of God. All other forms of God's Word are derivative and point back to him. He is the beginning and the end, the embodied Word, Jesus Christ himself. Then we have the written Word, the Scriptures, our Bible. In 2 Timothy, it says that all Scripture is God-breathed, authored by God. The Bible is the authoritative, inspired witness to the embodied Word of Jesus. It preserves God's revelation and guards the church from distortion and deception. Scripture does not replace Christ, but it does reveal Christ, points us to him. And then we have the spoken Word. We've got the embodied Word in Jesus, the written Word in the Scriptures, and then the spoken Word of preaching, prophecy, proclamation. In Romans, Paul writes that faith comes by hearing, and not just hearing anything, hearing a nice story, hearing the Word of God. And so as we preach, that's why it's so important to gather and to hear the spoken, preached, and proclaimed prophetic Word of God. Because it reveals and it points back to Jesus. God's word is spoken and heard in the present moment. It could be a testimony of Jesus himself. The Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so when we hear the testimony of Jesus, it brings things alive in us. It breathes life into people. It brings scales off people's eyes. And so it's powerful. The spoken word of preaching and the prophetic word is powerful, but it's not independent. It must be tested and kept within the bounds of Scripture and be aligned and pointing back to the character of Christ. And so God's word is the embodiment in Christ. It's preserved in Scripture, but it's proclaimed through his people. And all three are crucial as we build our lives on his word. And so as we hear the spoken word like we are now, or we read the written word as we might do in our own time, studying, devoting, devotions, what happens? The Holy Spirit illuminates Jesus more and more to us and empowers us to become more and more like him. This is how Christ gets formed in us. The word becomes flesh in us. Christ is being formed in us. And so we become, like Jesus, an embodiment of the Word. My story, as I shared 20 years ago, I went to camp. Like I said, I'd been in church for a little while, reading a bit of Scripture, trying to understand things, but it wasn't just wasn't clicking. And then went to camp, had this amazing encounter, got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's at that moment where it's like things just started making sense. The Holy Spirit started illuminating things to me. It wasn't just words and story and narrative, but it came alive to me. And so we need the Holy Spirit to bring it alive to us, because there's a word within the word. There's a dynamic, active word that God is giving to us as we read, as we hear someone preaching, as we read the word. God's speaking within that to us directly. And this illumination, it's dynamic, it's unique to our lives, to our context. So that's why we can all hear the same thing and God's speaking uniquely to you at the same time. But it's important that that personal revelation remains within the guardrails of Scripture and a community of discernment, the church, so we can stay on track. And so my question, I say all that and I've set that up to say this one question, which some people have heard me ask many times around the dinner table over Christmas. What is your word for this year? What's God saying? Now, let me just disclaim it. This is not just a cliche, positive self-talk thing that you want to manifest in your life this year. That's not what this is. It's never meant to be that. What is the prophetic promise and declaration over your life that God wants to plant into your soul? What's the peace of God God's wanting to do? God loves seasons. Like all through scripture, God labels things. Like this is the year of the Lord's favor. Like this is the time of salvation. God labels things, or this is the year of Jubilee. And so to pretend that God doesn't have something specific for your time in this moment, in this season now, we're missing something that God wants to do in each and every one of us. And so my desire, my heart, my prayer this morning is to stir up a fresh hunger for the prophetic promises of God for your life now. Jesus said in Matthew, he said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, the word is the beginning of everything in God. Everything starts with the word. The Bible says that in the beginning was the word. And so we can become pregnant with a word from God. God conceives something within us. He sows it into our hearts. And it forms and it shapes us, and then it begins to outwork itself in our world and in our lives. The word becomes flesh. And so my encouragement is, whatever we build this year, whatever we put our hands to in our work, in our family, in our kids, in our hopes and dreams, in church, in maybe a connect group, whatever God is putting in your hand or has already put in your hand to steward this year, let's build it based on a word. Let's build it based on an eternal seed that stays true and remains. Isaiah says that the grass withers, but the word stands forever. The word remains. Unless the Lord builds, we labor in vain. Unless the Lord speaks, we speak in vain. And so the prophetic word, though, doesn't usually just hit us over the head. You're like, oh, I'm just going to walk through life. And if God wants to speak, he will. I mean, like, he's God, right? Like, he wants to get my attention, he'll get my... Like, that's true to an extent. Because we have to be ready to hear. We have to be ready to receive. It's a posture of hunger and humility. James says that we need to humbly accept the word planted. And so the word can be planted, but we don't humbly accept it. There can be a resistance or a deafness to what God's trying to say to us. And so here, I want to go through a parable, and it's really Jesus helping us, show us how to engage with the word. How do we engage? How do we position and ready ourselves to hear and receive from God? So we're going to go to Luke chapter 8. This is the parable of the sower. I'm going to start at verse 4. It says this, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Whoever has ears, let them hear. This is the meaning, verse 11, this is the meaning of this parable. The seed is the word of God. Those among the path were those who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so they cannot believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no roots. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns, get this, stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, They are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. An amazing passage of scripture. And so we see a few things. We see that the word is the seed. The seed is the word. And can I tell you, the seed is good. Across this whole story, the seed doesn't change. The seed is pure. God's word is pure. It's right. It's truth. It's good. It's useful. It's useful. God's word is unchanging. It stands forever. So there's nothing wrong with the seed. And I find it interesting that the seed kind of just goes everywhere. Like, it just scatters the seed. Like, I'm not a farmer. Never farmed. I know there's a few farmers here. There's Lisa, I think Lisa Rises grew up on a farm somewhere. Is that true? Yeah. Okay. A few farmers waving their hands. Just, yeah, I'm a farmer. A friend of ours once signed up Phil Hubbard, who is our C3 London pastor, was here a few weeks ago. Might be here, no, they're away. As a prank, someone in this office a number of years ago signed up Phil Hubbard for Farmer Wants a Wife. And he got a call from the producer. Didn't know until the call. He's like, oh, is this Phil, the strawberry farmer? So good. But as I said, like Phil, I've never farmed. I'm not even a very good gardener, to be honest. But in the little time that I have spent gardening, one of the things that is pretty common sense to me is if you want to plant something, if you want to sow something in the ground, you're gonna kind of get it ready, get the soil ready. Like, oh, I was trying to rip out all this old kind of weedy hedge thing and plant some new nice hedges. This is about probably 18 months ago, and it took me like 90% of this job was pulling out and getting through all the roots under the, pulling out all the weeds and getting the soil ready. And then the final 10% was just planting the new plant. Very easy, actually. Just, you know, you just plant it and you need a bit of soil, you just water it. But the hardest part was getting through all this thick weed that had tangled itself up in the soil. Now, it's interesting, though, that this farmer, who's actually God, just scatters the seed everywhere. Like, it's on the road, it goes on the road. Like, it's a little bit like, God, what are you, like, you're not being careful. It's not going where it's meant to go. Don't we do that as Christians, though? Like, God, why are you talking to, like, why are you hanging out with those people, those sinners? You know, like, why are you hanging out? They're not going to receive the word. The seed doesn't belong on the road where the devil's going to come and steal. It's the grace of God. The seed reaches everyone. The seed gets to everyone. The seed, Jesus said at the start, everyone who hears. And so the seed, it has no favoritism. God is willing to go to the cross and bring salvation, offer salvation, purchase salvation for the whole world, knowing full well that not everyone will respond. Yet he does it anyway. And so he does it. He just scatters seed anyway on the off chance that it might take root. So he scatters seed on the road. He scatters seed in the rocky places, in the thorny places, and then in the good soil too. Where the soil? And this parable is diagnosing what is normal to all of us when it comes to engaging with God's word. It's normal. We are all the soils at different times. But isn't it true that the seed's not changing? But so it's the soil that so often is sabotaging the seed. And we write off God, get angry at God. We write off church. Say, this hasn't worked. What God said he's going to do didn't take root. It didn't happen like I thought it would happen. But at the end of the day, we've got to look in the mirror and say, actually, our soil is our responsibility. Our soil is our responsibility. How have we positioned ourselves to have ears to hear, to humbly receive God's word? My observation, because I mean, there's obviously different conditions of the soil. My observation is that the thorny soil that chokes and suffocates and steals and crowds out God's promise for our lives is the big one in our context. In Sydney, on the northern beaches. Like I said, we probably all travel through all of them at different stages. But I think the big one contextually for us in this time of life is the thorns that choke and suffocate what God's trying to say. It's interesting, it's not just worries, it's worries and pleasures. It's really had the same root. Things that grab our attention for better or worse. Things that preoccupy our minds and take us away and distract us from what God wants to do. Could be really good things, pleasures, riches. Think of the lifestyle we all get to share in this beautiful part of the world. But how often is that actually sabotaging and choking and suffocating what God's trying to do? And then the worries that come with often, that come with the riches and the pleasures, the worries because we're trying to keep up, trying to keep maintaining the status, trying to keep up with everybody. And we worry and we fear and we get consumed with life and the things of the world, the temporal things that we all worry about. But what they're doing is they're crowding out space for what God wants to do. And I believe what God's wanting to do this morning is to help us get our hearts ready again to receive, to create space for what God wants to birth in your life. And I do believe that God wants to birth things in your life this year, that we wouldn't go through another year just ticking a box and just going through the motions. Because, you know, in the thorny soil, interestingly, the soil, the plant does take root. It just doesn't mature. And so we can show up and have a very full garden of our heart. And the seed gets in, but it just doesn't grow to what it was meant to grow to. It doesn't mature. And so maybe there's a bit of God. The things are good, like, but just not, it's not full. It's not the fullness of what God wants for you. Because it's crowded out, it's choking, it's suffocated by the things of the world. I believe this year God's wanting to bring some promises back to life. He's wanting to bring to maturity things that have been in your heart for years but have never had space to fully come alive. God's wanting to just bring water and life and create margin in your world. So that things that, promises, seeds that have been sown, that you've been carrying in your heart for years, can I tell you, this is the year. This is the year for things to spring up. This is the year for things to come out of the ground. This is the year for those promises to come to the surface as we create space, as we get rid of some of those weeds and thorns that are tangling our mind and our hearts. I love that the good soil, if I can get the musicians to come back up, that'd be awesome. The good soil is a heart that perseveres. It's not a perfect heart. You know, it's not like being the good soil, it's not about being perfect. I'm just pure before the Lord. And it's a good goal, but it's probably not reality. Because life happens. Every day, the disciples had to get their feet washed. There's a daily, like, things happen. So it's not about perfect. It's about persevering. So there's a good, the heart, the soil, the good soil is about a heart that perseveres, that holds on, that retains the word, doesn't let go of the promise, that wrestles with the word, that doesn't let go. It's like Jacob when he was wrestling with God. He wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but he wrestled. He wrestled with God. He wrestled Some say it was Jesus himself, the angel of the Lord. He wrestled with the word until it blessed him. And some of us need to get a bit of a fight. Like I'm not going to get taken out by the weeds. I'm not going to get taken out. I'm not going to get choked out in the ring. I'm going to wrestle with the word. I'm going to retain the word until I see it come to fruition in my life. Some of you need to get that fight back. We let go of the promise too easy. We give up too easy. God's got things he wants to birth in our lives and in our city and in our families. It's all too easy to walk away. But good soil, a good heart, a noble heart. It's not a perfect heart. It's a heart that perseveres. I love this scripture in Hebrews 3. I don't think you guys have it, sorry. In the Amplified 3:14, it says, "For we believers have become partakers of Christ, sharing in all that the Messiah has for us." Isn't that a good image? Not just sharing in some of it. We get to share in all the Messiah has for us. If only we hold firm our newborn confidence, which originally led us to him until the end. Do you remember your newborn confidence? Remember the confidence you had in the Lord at the beginning? Like the song we were singing? I still remember my first ever moment where I feel like I had God illuminated something to me. I still remember it. I remember where I was sitting. I remember what I was reading. I remember the scripture. It's Colossians 3, saying that perfect love, above all these things, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I read that scripture as a 15-year-old, and it hit me in the face. I'd been reading scripture for probably 6 months, and it was at that moment, the beginning of 2006, when I'd just been to camp. I came home, and I was reading again, and then suddenly, bang, hit my heart. Newborn confidence, that original conviction that we all have had, that we hold on to that again, we retain it again. Persevering can be hard because we so often don't see change. It's because the seed starts underground. And so we don't see it for a while, but it's there. It's doing its work. And we have to keep believing, keep retaining, keep persevering until what we received is what we see. Because the word is already forming us before it springs up around us. We have to keep trusting the seed to do its work.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.